Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Over the course of this special series, Abortion in America, we're talking about the major milestones in the pro-life movement in America. On July 30, 1987, President Reagan announced that programs which provide counseling and referral for abortion services as a method of family planning will not be eligible for Title X funds, thereby cutting off some federal money from organizations like Planned Parenthood. Later that year, the president appointed a federal task force to encourage adoption as an alternative to abortion. In October, pro-life Judge Robert Bork's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court was rejected by the U.S. Senate after pro-abortion groups waged a fierce campaign against him. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who would later vote to reaffirm Roe's central holdings, was ultimately confirmed for the seat. In March 1988, the Reagan administration issued a moratorium on new federally funded fetal tissue transplant research. In July of that year, the U.S. District Court in New York upheld the constitutionality of Reagan administration regulations barring Title X programs from involvement in abortion. That fall, the French government approved the licensing of RU486 for use in the country, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued an import bulletin banning the importation of RU486 for personal use. In late October, the French government ordered Roussel Ouklaf to reverse its decision to halt distribution of RU486. In November, pro-lifers retained control of the White House with the election of George H.W. Bush to the presidency, continuing the policy momentum developed during the Reagan administration. In April 1989, pro-abortion groups rallied in Washington, D.C. Although the media reported attendance at 300,000, a park police captain told congressmen he would have estimated between 75 and 85,000. Seeing the rally, pro-life champion Congressman Henry Hyde challenged pro-lifers to descend on Washington in 1 year's time, saying, "Now is the time to stand and be counted." On July 3rd, in Webster v. Reproductive Health Services, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld portions of a Missouri law and found that the Constitution does not require the government to make public facilities, such as hospitals, available for use in performing abortions. In November, the so-called Freedom of Choice Act was introduced for the first time in the U.S. House. The bill was designed to codify Roe v. Wade into federal law. That same month, Democratic pro-life Pennsylvania Governor Robert Casey signed the Abortion Control Act, which was challenged and eventually went before the U.S. Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood v. Casey. On November 22, President Bush vetoed a foreign aid appropriations bill because it contained the Mikulski Amendment, which would have restored funding to the UNFPA, an organization that played a key role in China's coercive population control program. This program violated the 1985 Kemp-Kasten Amendment, which denied U.S. population assistance to any organization that supports or participates in the management of a program of coerced abortion or involuntary sterilization. In March of 1990, a federal court in New York dismissed Planned Parenthood's lawsuit challenging the Mexico City policy. That next month, pro-lifers heeded Henry Hyde's call from the previous year, and at the Rally for Life, organized by National Right to Life, hundreds of thousands descended on Washington. It remains the single biggest gathering of pro-lifers ever to be held. In May 1990, the Washington Post reported that French pharmaceutical company Roussel Ouklaf would be marketing RU486 outside France. And in two separate cases that year, Ohio v. Akron Center for Reproductive Health and Hodgson v. Minnesota, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld both one-parent and two-parent parental notification laws, respectively, as long as the law contained a judicial bypass. Join us again tomorrow for Part 5 of Abortion in America. And don't forget, you can listen to the entire series at ProLifePerspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.